Hi, this is Jeff Sika, and thank you for joining me on my podcast. It has been quite a while since I have done a podcast, and I have no excuse for myself. So we're back doing podcasts, and we're going to talk about a few things that I think are very, very relevant now in the market, where we are in the market today. You know, the markets have really been in this surge plunge scenario for quite a while, where it seems to be one step forward, two steps back. There doesn't seem to be much momentum in either direction. You know, the sell-offs have been relatively severe, but it seems like we always get rebounds off of the sell-offs, and the rebounds don't seem to last long. So really, the markets have been in this stalemate for what seems like a very long time. It's actually been about a year and a half. And it's important to realize where we are to develop a strategy going forward. You know, I think the biggest problem investors have today is trying to really determine what to do in a market that at best is flat. You know, my, and I know I take a lot of slack over it, and the fact that I've been negative on the market for a few years now. I mean, the fact is, the market, as I've said probably 10,000 times, is that the market is not only overvalued, the market has also been artificially inflated by the Fed, by the central bank, not only in the U.S., but central banks around the world have worked in unison in so many ways to deploy these artificial strategies to support the markets. So you can't trust any upward appreciation of the markets. And that leads me to the reason. The main reasons why you can't trust them is because we spend a lot of time analyzing charts and graphs and correlations, and I won't bore you with that stuff, but one thing has become very relevant is we're in a market that celebrates bad news. The worse the news is, the better the markets seem to do. And the reason for that is the market has grown so addicted and dependent on economic stimulus that the worse the news is, the more likely the Federal Reserve is going to be to keep interest rates low. So, you know, that creates a challenge because artificially low interest rates distort asset prices. As much as the Fed would like people to borrow more, they'd like to squeeze money out of fixed instruments, out of savings accounts into the market. The fact is, when you create those distortions, you create bubbles, and distorted asset prices and bubbles are very, very dangerous to a market, and that's where we stand. So I'm not going to get into earnings to any great extent because I have been talking about earnings quite a lot, and people have heard what I had to say about earnings. But we had a quarter that I think to call this quarter dismal is actually better than most descriptions of how I would describe this quarter. This quarter was horrendous from an earnings standpoint, and we've seen these declining revenue numbers. We've seen expectations decline tremendously. You know, we've seen upwards north of a 20% decline in earnings over this time period. And that's relative. That's relevant because when you have a rising or even a flat stock market and declining earnings, you have a delta that most likely leads to a scenario of a severe sell-off, and I do believe we're on the edge of that. Now, will it happen tomorrow? That remains to be seen, or soon, because the Federal Reserve has been able to get it to this point. Sooner or later, the law of diminishing returns comes into effect, and this stimulus no longer works, and we're seeing it in Japan. Japan has had a dismal run, you know, down over 20%. I mean, there's not that. If we're looking for a model of how central bank stimulus, negative interest rates, all that nonsense work, it's Japan is the model. And we're following the example of a disastrous economy. So I'm not going to get into anything in particular as far as individual companies with earnings, but, you know, companies like Apple that so many people, I mean, so many bulls I heard on financial television say, as go Apple, so goes the market. And some of those same bulls, and I, you know, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to do that, but some, they know who they are. Some of those same bulls really backed off of that, and they're trying to minimize the relevance of Apple. And I think that's very disingenuous, but they got to live with themselves. So, you know, that's on them. But earnings, the important earnings were disappointing almost across the board. And I want to talk about another factor, which I think is important, is this whole subject of hedge funds. You know, I come from the age of hedge funds. I mean, hedge funds really started to pick up steam during my 20-something, over 20-year career. You know, hedge funds were all the rage at cocktail parties. You know, everybody wanted to be with the hot managers. And now we're seeing this absolute massacre in hedge funds. You know, last year was the worst year we've seen for liquidations of hedge funds since 2009. So we've had about 979 hedge funds close. There was about 874 in 2014. The fewest hedge funds started since 2009. Only 183 opened, and they've underperformed in a lot of ways. They've underperformed. There's been, you know, they got away with charging big fees for quite a while, but if you're going to charge fees like that, you have to perform, and if you don't, you start the clock to your extinction, and that's what hedge funds did, and now we're starting to see that industry fall. So to give you a perspective as to how much has been liquidated, assets in hedge funds fell by $64 billion. So if people are wondering, you know, where some of the selling is from, it's from hedge funds. And I got to agree with, and this is no comment in terms of whether I agree with their strategies or not, but Steve Cohen in Beverly Hills said that that the talent is really very thin in hedge funds, and we see that on our end too. You know, we've been in the business of doing due diligence on hedge funds, and we are seeing very, very limited talent. And Jim Chanos came out on Monday, and he said that the fees that hedge funds are charging outweigh what they're worth. So a lot of investors have come to terms with that. We're seeing a lot of the endowments and foundations getting out of hedge funds. And I think it's a sign of where we are as a country, as an investor community, you know, that people are not willing to pay for underperformance. And a lot of the appreciation in the S&P 500 has been directly related to the indexes. And you don't need to pay any money to be in an index. I mean, indexes are relatively cheap, you know, so people aren't going to pay for hedge funds if they can't beat the indexes. And that brings me to my third and last point, is that how do you invest in this? You know, do you just cross your fingers and hope we have another leg up, that the Fed does something truly desperate and idiotic to keep the market afloat? Or do you look elsewhere? And a lot of people looked at hedge funds or different alternative investments, and they're very disappointed. And I don't blame them. Honestly, I don't blame them. So our strategy, and this is strictly our strategy, I'm not saying to anybody that it's the right strategy or it's not the right strategy, but we're buying real assets right now. And never in a million years thought I'd be at a point that I got to be able to, that I would say that I got to be able to touch what I own. That's the bottom line. It sounds kind of silly, but it's got to be real. And that leads me to the ultimate investment, which is real estate. And real estate to us, we've done a lot of due diligence on it, but it's the right place to be. But that doesn't mean that all of real estate is going to go up. I mean, the deals, the opportunities are relatively limited, which is why we rely on competent, successful partners to bring us to the types of opportunities which have the most, the highest probability of succeeding. You know, whether they succeed or not, of course, is important, but we want the right opportunities. If you invest in the right opportunities, your chances of success are far greater if you spend time limiting the investments that you make instead of just haphazardly spreading your money over a large number of investments, saying that you're diversified. To me, I would rather make a strategic, well thought out, disciplined investment in a real estate opportunity. We are doing a lot of our development. You know, we're not experienced developers, so we partner with the very best developers we know. And we're taking a lot of money out of the traditional markets. And we're going to keep doing that because the traditional markets do not offer the opportunity in select deals. We are sharp demographic sharpshooters. We have a handful of opportunities that we think make a lot of sense. And those opportunities are put through the ringer when it comes to due diligence. And we think that's where you need to be. We profit from low interest rates. You know, I criticize the Fed for keeping interest rates low, but I am in the business of investing for people and advisors especially. And the one thing that we need to take advantage of where we are. And for us, low interest rates have been a tremendous incentive to do the types of deals that we want to do. So we're going to continue to look at the highly concentrated traditional stock equity positions of our advisors and our clients, and we are going to continue to recommend select real estate deals, opportunities. I know my friends in California don't like when I use the word deal, but it's a big deal for us. We use the word a lot in the Northeast. I'll say opportunities. And I think the opportunities are there. They're not in abundance, but we, you know, since when are good opportunities plentiful? You know, good opportunities are what they are: limited, unique, easily understood, and that's what it's going to take. Because, as I said before, we are on the edge of something very ugly in the equity markets. That we are also on the edge of coming to a complete understanding that despite what people have gotten so complacent, and despite their complacency, there's still an immense amount of risk. And we're just looking for opportunity, and we're looking for a level of control and something real, and our investors to be able to succeed and maybe hold more cash than usual. You know, cash is king in times like this. If you can't find the right opportunity, sell and sit in cash. And you'll be very happy if you do. So with that, remember, opportunities are everywhere. Stay strong.